Okay, so we come back and continue the life divine, mother's wine. So as I was saying, I feel, this is my personal feeling of course, I don't see these books of Sri Aurobindo as philosophy or difficult, abstruse metaphysics. I really see them as gifts of his tremendous compassion and grace. Anybody after realizing all that he had realized could have just said, there's nothing now to express. If I express, you won't understand, which is also true. And yet he gave us this gift. All his works are a gift, a tremendous gift of grace, to make it easy for us. At least this much we can understand, that it's not just about, he misses nothing. He doesn't say, okay, this is not important, this is just your karma, this is illusion. No. There is a complete account of every little aspect of life. So that's the beauty of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. And so he takes up this chapter of the divine and the undivine. Again, this is a unexplained mystery. Of course, there are hints. If you read the Bhagavad, there will be hints. What is this element in this creation that we feel, experience, know, call as the undivine? Is there anything like undivine? So, one way to look at it is that as we progress, that which seemed all right to us, no more seems all right. So as a two-year-old child, when a two-year-old fights with his mother, hits her, calls names, it's okay. So, but as 20-year-old, when he does it, it's not okay. So we can understand the undivine in context of evolution and time. What is all right at one stage is no more all right at another stage. And that would explain many things in this creation. If we go back little, maybe a few hundred years back, we'll see that the gladiators, and then, there are people who used to do Narbali, all these things, cruelty, that was there in creation. We cannot deny that. Everywhere it was there. And then slowly we have come to this point where we can at least question it and say, this is not acceptable, this is not done. And so we have these great debates which are going on all over the world. So that means we have evolved. There is no doubt about it. So you see still in some movies of the past when there is a wrestling going on. And so the sign that the wrestler has won, finally, that, depending on the public opinion, if the public did this, means you have to finish. It was acceptable. It gave a vicarious joy, vicarious perverse pleasure to people. Now we have Olympics. If you watch Olympic wrestling, it looks, this is very decent. There are rules of the game. You cannot hold like this. And, the referee will say 1, 2, 3, or then it's over. So there is an evolution of tendencies which is going on. The second, as I said, the safety thing which divine has kept, even ignorance has a purpose. Because he is shaping much of what he shapes, or the world mother shapes, is done in a state when we are covered by ignorance. That's what in Savitri he says, that we have hid into her lap from too swift and awakening to world pain. She is the dark mother in whose womb we have hid. So the moment we become awake and become aware of the world pain, we are round the corner, which is so beautiful to know. That's why if you trail, just now someone was telling me the story of the man who was drunkard, and what was told to him? Some philosophy or something about God and all. God? Or sure. So when someone talked to this drunkard about God, after some time he says, why did you do all this? Now mera pura chadhava utar gaya. I have come back to my normal, I have to drink again. So he drank another half a bottle. So This is well known. Sri Krishna says in the Gita, na buddhi vedam. Don't try to give this truth to those who are not ready. This is why there are secret schools of initiation. Even Sri Aurobindo says, it's not about, you know, going and doing danka everywhere, you know. Now there is a new gospel, there is life divine, everybody should teach. This is not to be done. This contravenes the fundamental truth of, first of all, he will not understand. There must be a seeking. So going into villages, waking up everybody and saying, you know, there is a nice book and if you go to mother, you pray everything. Whatever you pray, she will fulfill. That relation people have anyways. They have that relation with God. Even the most tribal person knows that yes, you can pray to God and you will get something. Doesn't matter which God. He may pray to any God. He may pray to a tree. He may pray to a stone, to a river. It's okay. He knows that there is a remedy to his reliefs of everyday life. That's all. But when he comes to, let's say, you can't keep substituting, oh, instead of this God, now we have Divine Mother, she will fulfill your wishes. That's kind of, you know, what is that she's doing as a universal mother. But as an incarnate Divine Mother, there is a special purpose. And that purpose is that these souls who are ready now for the ultimate adventure go through the process of transformation. Now people may say, but that's difficult. Yes. Try moksha and see how easy it is. It's very good to hear. You all have enjoyed. Bhaj Govindam, Bhaj Govindam, Bhaj Govindam, Moodmate. Punarapi Janamam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jathare Shainam. I see everybody knows all this, no? I also enjoyed all this. I used to say, you hear it in 5 minutes when you walk out. Because it's not, the ignorance doesn't let go till you are ready to be delivered. You can't say, I have a baby in my womb, therefore, oh doctor, can you deliver soon? No, he will say you have to go through. You have to go through, reach the labor pains, and then only the baby will be delivered. So, by simply saying everybody, so what happens? People get confused. So, they are told this is all maya, this is illusion. There is a divine reality. Now, there are individuals who want to escape, fine. Then Shobindo also says you can do that. Not that it is easy. And certainly it doesn't apply to the generality of the race which seeks perfection. People turn because you are told that, well, it is full of suffering. They experience suffering. Momentarily they turn towards, you know, somebody who had a bad quarrel at home. So he goes and says, Yamraji aake mujhe kyo nahi? Why doesn't Yama come and take me? So Yama was, by the way, passing nearby. He said, nobody remembers me. I've come, my child. He sees the buffalo and he understands. He says, sir, but why have you come? No, no, you called me. No, you were suffering. You wanted that somebody should take you away. I have come. I am the god of death. No, no, sir, it's a bit too early. Today only my wife has fought. She has a habit of fighting. It's okay. My son's marriage is there, you know, when his wife, I have to say, please don't take me seriously. This is because deep inside we carry the seed of perfection. That incorrigible psychic being wants perfection. Because it's the Divine Mother she has put forth out of her womb. So, well, we have the option of what Sri Aurobindo says as a last illusion. By the way, even Buddha at one point speaks about it. This is the last illusion, the illusion of personal moksha. She has even used a word in prayers and meditation, misguided mysticism. Because why misguided? Because are we really cut off from the whole creation? And I feel at the bottom very selfish. Because every mystic who wants to escape from the world, he has grown and reached this point because the whole creation has nourished him, supported him. Every food grain he has had, somebody laboring in ignorance has grown. And he wants to escape alone. Now, if he wants to bring everybody together, if he has the power that let's go all of us together, then it makes sense. But he is abandoning everything and going. This is extremely selfish at its bottom. That's why. But still, this option is open. Ye line khuli hui hai. But a new option has entered into the play because we are nearing now that point. And that point is transformation. It is difficult, yes. liberation is not easy. Also, it's never complete. Something in us, you know, always seeks that perfection. So mother reminds us, yes, it's difficult, but if aspiration is awakened, you are round the corner. So imagine if somebody comes all the way to Pondicherry and, you know, over a cup of drink he's discussing with someone, life is so disgusting, this, that, and the person says, you know what, why don't you once visit the ashram? Ashram, okay. Where is it? It's in Pondicherry. Okay, I'll see next time. Now you see, we are in that situation. Now because this option is open, at least for souls who are ready, it's now very near. Very near may mean a couple of lives or maybe whatever. But to say after all this labor through which the soul has gone, to abandon it and say I want to call it quits and go back, is at least to most people's view would be most foolish. But then to each his own. So now Shobindra takes up the other problem. This was eternal and the individual. Is there an abiding reality of the individual? Now he comes to the divine and the undivine. So this problem comes if we take it that the universe is a manifestation of the divine. In the previous chapter he has answered that, well, this idea of cutting off from the individual and creation itself from that reality. So he bridges that. Now, the moment you say this, ek bij se sab jag upja, everything has emerged from that one seed. If you connect the creation with the creator, then there is a problem. Because we do experience things which seem to us undivine. And that's where he starts. Page 403. The universe is a manifestation of an infinite and eternal all existence. The divine being dwells in all that is. We ourselves are that in ourself, in our own deepest being, our soul. The secret indwelling psychic entity is a portion of the divine consciousness and essence. This is the view we have taken of our existence. But at the same time, we speak of a divine life as the culmination of the evolutionary process. And the use of the phrase implies that our present life is undivine and all the life too that is below us. Now, this is a very, very interesting distinction. There are people who bypass this whole evolution and say, well, life as it is, you can live divinely. Even today, I can say, there was an Auroville website on which there was a whole thing. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to. This itself, a little change inside and this becomes divine. This is absolutely not what Sri Aurobindo is saying. Divine life is not just that you discover the divine within or that point within and you lead a life and all is good, hunky-dory. So there is nothing to feel bad about, nothing to grudge about, all is good. That may sound a very good propaganda. That's how it looked to me. But it's not divine. To say that it's divine, even if my life may be wonderful, but it's very insensitive when we look at the world around and say, everything is divine. But, well, to each his own. So the view which is taken is, but at the same time we speak of a divine life. Because then there is no yoga. If you say it is already divine, no yoga is required. All that you need is a little change of stance. Maybe change of attitude. So easy, so simple. Once Chutnaranji gave a very interesting answer to a man who believed like that. And he said, what is the use? No need to go to Pondicherry, nothing, all this. You can just lead divine life like this. So Chutnaranji had a marvelous sense of humor and sometimes it could be hard hitting. He said, yes, yes, we are fools that we are putting our head and he used the word matha phod rahe hain samadhi ke upar rakhe. We are fools that we are breaking our head, putting at the samadhi. This was his way of saying, you won't understand, tumse nahi ho payega. So, and it's true that to say that life, nature in its present state is divine just because you make an inner shift, There is disease, there is anger, there is egoism, there is desire, there is whole lot. Just the inner shift. No, there are so many things. So he says that we have spoken of the culmination. At the first glance, this looks like a self-contradiction. That's what that note says. And I really felt that Sri Aurobindo has answered it long back. This person has not read the Life Divine, this chapter. At the first glance, this looks like a self-contradiction. Instead of making a distinction between the divine life we aspire for and a present undivine existence, it would be more logical to speak of an ascent from level to higher level of a divine manifestation. We can use that word, but that is different. So what the person is implying, or did imply, it seemed like, was the same thing that Totapuri, when he was moving with concubines, and somebody told him, what, you are moving with all these women and, you know, harem and all this. Not Totapuri, sorry, another yogi. And Sri Aurobindo quotes this story. Totapuri was the guru of Sri Ramakrishna. So the yogi said, what does it matter? I have realized the self and I live in the delight of the self. So this was informed to Sri Ramakrishna. That he said, Vedantic formula, I realize the self, how does it matter? And Sri Ramakrishna's reply was, I spit on your Vedanta. And Sri Aurobindo says, well, what Sri Ramakrishna is true, but if this world is an illusion, the yogi has a point. He beautifully brought, if it is all an illusion, how does it matter? You have the experience of the self. That's it. What you do, it doesn't matter. You will be in delight. And actually, it's possible. That is, you may put 100 people in pain, that is okay. Because you have found the self. You are free. And you are in delight. Okay. Some naughty boys are laughing. Okay. But this is so true. So he says you can look at it as an ascent, but nevertheless, point is the same, that it is a limited. So one way to look at it is, in a limited framework, I can discover the happiness. But you can't call it divine in that ultimate sense, that what it is capable of. Page 404. And yet, 10 lines from above, from the practical and relative point of view, as distinguished from an essential vision is, I have discovered the divine, all is beautiful. In Savitri, it is described when Savitri discovers this truth inside. And she forgets Satyavan's death. It's okay, I will also walk with him. It's beautifully described in Canto 6 of Book 7. And they are living beautifully, marvelously. She forgets what is there. She's living in that golden ambience. And then one day she is reminded of her mission. And then she is seized by that unspeakable terror which humanity undergoes. That this is the mission for which you had come. So, the distinction between the divine and the undivine, which he says has an insistent value, a very pressing significance. See how Sri Aurobindo is not ignoring. That's where I wanted to say that the moment you say this is illusion, you have ignored a data. There are people who do experience extreme pain and suffering. You just can't say you are having illusion. I mean, imagine as a psychiatrist, as your problem. Awaken, do a Vedantic course, you'll be fine. Now, this is where we have to understand that he takes it that yes, there is a truth. That's why he uses the word realistic Vedanta. So he says this distinction between the divine and the undivine life is in fact identical with the root distinction between a life of knowledge lived in self-awareness and in the power of the light and a life of ignorance. You may be very happy in a life of ignorance, but it's not the fullness of life. And again, since I mentioned about Chotnarayanji, he was narrating to me the story of a father whose son got a job abroad and he was flying very happy. Oh, I'm going to go Dubai and I'll earn a lot of money and Abu Dhabi and all this. Later on, that son went through a lot of misery and came back. But when he was flying, he was sharing with me that I felt a deep inner, as if there is a whole cloud in which he is going. And when people told him that you should be happy that your son is now abroad and he is, enjoying things, he had an observation. He said, the fly sits on a bottle of phenyl. He had this kind of similes. And he's very happy drinking that phenyl. But should the knower also be happy seeing that? You may be happy. That's a different thing. But somebody who realizes that there is much greater joy, delight, then you feel, what is it that you are doing? That's why we see the mothers when they are dealing with their child. They are perplexed and children cannot understand why my mom is getting worked up. I'm happy. But she knows that this happiness is a very limited happiness. It'll bring as a backlash pain. Even if it doesn't bring backlash as pain, it will be a life lived in vain. And she invariably presses for something higher. So he says that, well, that is the difference. At any rate, it so presents itself in a world that is slowly and with difficulty evolving out of an original inconscience. All life that has still this inconscience for its basis is stamped with the mark of a radical imperfection. And this is so terribly stamped. You may be very happy, but ask anyone. And mother has raised this question. She asked a scientist. So she asked, can you tell us what is going to happen the next moment with certainty? You cannot say with certainty. She could. She knew. So there is, you are living in a bandwidth, small narrow bandwidth, and you may be happy. A monkey is happy being a monkey. That's not the point. So delight of existence is not these things, like the same story of the drunkard, that now I have to drink a little more because I have been awakened to something deeper. So there is a radical imperfection. It is, few lines below, it is this bondage to a perpetual stamp of imperfection and disharmony that is the mask of the undivine. So it's not just about suffering. People may pactize with imperfection. They may say that's how life is. Everybody fights. So what's new about it? So people pactize with that. And they live a whole life happy with their imperfection. But is that what is the ultimate? Is that the goal or ideal? They would say there is no such goal or ideal. Ultimately they say it is your karma. So now karma is now, you are the sinner, you are the receiver. So this is where he says it is stamped. When he is using the word in divine, it's not just about the moral aspect, but something much deeper. Perpetual stamp of imperfection and disharmony, that is the mark of the undivine. A divine life, on the contrary, even if progressing from the little to the more, would be at each stage harmonious in its principle and detail. That's why he started with the Mahavakya. All problems of existence are problems of harmony. The ascetic solves it by cutting off from the world. That's okay. That's not a solution. The child who finds schooling difficult doesn't go to school. The man abandons his wife and goes away. Now these are not solutions. This is where we started. It's cutting the Gordian knot. So you see, he is taking this in real earnest. It is this bondage to a perpetual stamp of imperfection. Few lines below. All imperfections, all perfections have to be taken into view in our consideration of the difference between an undivine and a divine existence. So what does it mean? I may be very happy in my own way, perfect, picture perfect. But now you have to take all perfections. Is that my ultimate possibility? No. The moment you say there is a higher possibility, so this becomes less. So you strive for that. And next page. Most of all, we are thinking of the distinction we are obliged to make between good and evil, or of that along with its kindred problem of the duality, the blendiness of happiness and suffering. When we seek intellectually for a divine presence in things, a divine origin of the world, a divine government of its workings, the presence of evil, the insistence on suffering, the large, the more, the enormous part offered to pain, grief and affliction in the economy of nature are the cruel phenomena which baffles our reason and overcome the instinctive faith of mankind in such an origin and government, or in an all-seeing, all-determining and omnipresent divine immanence. Because the moment we say it's your karma, this is the standard explanation, then there is nothing like a divine omnipotence and omniscience which could have prevented me, and omnipotence which would have completely stopped this. So that means there is something I don't understand. Because if he is omnipresent, that was the famous question of Anton Chekhov, that if God is omnipotent and omniscient, why does he let good and evil, why there is evil and suffering in the world if there is God? So either he is incapable of doing anything about it, in which case he is impotent. You have to do, bhaiya, your karma. He is watching. What does it matter? You know, somebody is watching. Uncle Sam is watching. That's how we make God. He is watching. Untouched and unaffected by all this. Suryo yatha sarva lokasya chakshu na lipyate chakshushaya bahya dosha. That's the analogy given in the Kain Upanishad. That as a fire inside agniriyathaiko bhuvanam pravishto rupam rupam pratirupo bahu. Very nice that in everything, this is the agni. It's limited by the pot. So, but the limitation is there. So that's where the mayavad comes in. This pot is not the real thing. Matki futi. So that's where all this comes. That don't care about it. Don't bother about it. So he says we have to take account of this. When we seek intellectually for a divine presence in things, the presence of evil, the insistence on suffering, the large, the enormous part offered to pain, grief, we have to take into account all of them. Other difficulties we could solve more easily and happily and make some shift to the better, to be better satisfied with the ready conclusiveness of our solutions. But this standard of judgment is not sufficiently comprehensive, and it is supported upon a too human point of view. But to a wider outlook, evil and suffering appear only as a striking aspect. They are not the whole defect, not even the root of the matter. This example, a child is playing. He spends all his time doing nonsensical things. He's like a little urchin, goes out, does anything, and the parents are suffering. Paradox. Child is enjoying. It's a strange situation. He may enjoy all his life doing it, eventually one day go away. So there can be a life situation like that, where a person is perfectly content with what that state is. And if you put anything else, you say, don't bother me, don't bore me with all these questions and problems. I am happy with life as it is. I am getting my fill quota from here or there. There are children who go to what extent? Recent news I am just sharing. A boy killed his father, chopped him into pieces. Why? Because his father was insisting that you study. If you don't study, what are you going to do? So he finished his father. And coolly even reported to the police that my father is missing along with the rest of the family members. So we may say, well, to the boy it didn't matter. Now that means a complete cold-blooded. But something in us intuitively senses this is not right. There is something we are missing. Because if happiness is the aim, he is happy, he doesn't care. He is happy because now father is not there to tell him that you study. He said, you just 2 days back. So, and they didn't know. It took time to understand. The lady who married and took the man to Shillong, also along with her boyfriend, and they killed the man. I'm not saying this, that life is all about it, but she was happy for quite some time. So when we use the word delight, we are not talking about delight in this way that, you know, pleasure is delight, happiness is delight. Delight is the ultimate divine vibration. And these are incidents in the play. So there is evil. We can't deny it. So he says this is one deficiency, but there are other deficiencies also. There is also the deficiency of other divine degrees. So when the word perfection is used, not just about happiness, delight, or evil and good, there are other problems also. What are they? For knowledge, truth, beauty, power, unity, all these we are deficient in. Are they too the stuff and elements of a divine life? So divine life is not just about I am not suffering inside, I am in happiness, I have got the knowledge that there is one Lord and that's it. Because there are many, power is deficient. We cannot, so limited we can manipulate that too. We are at the mercy of so many machines. Beauty, sense of beauty, in fact it discarded completely. And these are given to us in a scanty and grudging measure, yet all are in their absolute powers of the divine nature. That's why when I had my first work assignment in marbling section, I really thank how mother put me there, because at least I developed some eye that, you know, saris are different colors. And these colors make sense. This is the sense and spirit of beauty. So it starts from there. You see, everything, they are all divine powers. That's how when we look at our conception of the divine in so many ways. If you just see in Ramcharitmanas how Tulsidas describes Sri Ram. Sri Ram Chandra Kripal Bhajman Harana Bhavhe Darunam Nav Kanja Lochan Kanja Mukkar Kanja Pada Kanjarunam. And then he goes on to say, no, it's not just all his lotus, Sanki Dori, beautiful. He says, Ajan Bhujshar Chap Dhari Sangrama Jit Khar Dushtam. So when he describes the strength of Rama, he says, Ajan Bhuj. His arms were long, reaching nearly the knee. Shar Chap Dhari. He is so beautiful, his speech is so wonderful. But when he took the arrow and the bow, Khar Dushan with his 14,000 army, they were scared and ran away. And yet he is full of grace. So this, all this was a way to see the divine and his totality, so that we too can grow in totality of the divine, not just as a blank negation. It is not possible then to limit the description of our and the world's undivine imperfections solely to moral evil or sensational suffering. That is there. He is not denying that. But he's saying that's not enough. Even if you are morally a wonderful person, whatever it means, and you are, you know, you become strong enough to bear the sensations, like mard ko dard nahi hota, still you may be crude, very crude in your nature. So he's saying the problem is not just about moral, though it has its place, but there is more in the world enigma than their double problem. For they are only two strong results of a common principle. It is the general principle of imperfection that we have to admit and consider. This is the problem when we read Sri Aurobindo. We were like the drunkards who were happy with life. All that we knew is do some meditation, some puja. Now he is telling us there is so much more, you guys. You don't have. Yeah. Actually, I am aspiring for that. He awakens that aspiration. Suddenly, you know, you have a whole wide things open before you. Oh, possibility of a supramental life. Even your body can be transformed. Okay, let's hold on. Madam Maya, you are put on hold. Goal of moksha, you can wait. Let me explore this. I actually know people who have been initiated into typical Mayavad and moksha. When they came to know, they had a big problem. So some of them will keep writing to me. Now this Aurobindo has brought in this supramental. Now it has taken away my sleep. I was so content with my Guruji who taught me a method by which I could find peace. Now my peace has been taken away. So I said yes. Because you have qualified now for a greater peace, for a greater delight, which right now you do not know. You will know it. And slowly people discover. So that's where the whole thing comes. It is the general principle of imperfection. If we look closely at this general imperfection, we shall see that it consists first in a limitation in us of the divine elements which robs them of their divinity. Yes, there is something called knowledge, but my knowledge is only a book knowledge. I don't have the divine omniscience. I don't even have the intuitive intelligence an average person would lament that, okay, fine, divine knows. And that is where the problem of a typical puja comes. That if you do it only for God to do things for you, that means I will not grow. Imagine a mother who does all the homework of the child, or a papa who says, download the AI. So what's happening then? You are getting everything right and you are not growing. So all sensible mothers would say, no, you do it, doesn't matter. You may pass, fail is different. They may assist a little bit, telling, okay, look at it like this. So that's where the problem lies, that we may be satisfied with our limitations. Why? Because God is there to solve. So when God takes us seriously, then he says, okay, you solve a little yourself. And he's there, always there. But you have to go through that little effort and then she takes care and pulls you to the next level. So limitation. Then, of course, if somebody aspires for the perfection, she will do it. Because that's the most important thing. Then in a various many branching distortion, a perversion, a contrary turn, a falsifying departure from some ideal truth of being. So these are the two problems. One is the limitation, which is evident. And yes, the mother does everything. But yes, if the aspiration for perfection has awakened, then it's a different thing altogether. But if we just want her to do everything so that my life becomes easy, that people don't understand that why. They had heard that mother's grace is there and everything will be, she does everything, but my child is not studying well. My child has a problem. So now you see, this is a different approach, that I am content with my imperfection. And the mother will take care of everything. I will be fixed where I am. She will just rearrange my house, give me the money I need. This is a relation people have formed with God. But the other is, I am striving for perfection. And then she looks after all those things which we are unable to look after. This is subtle but very important difference. As once Duman Bhai told the mother, mother was cleaning the crow's droppings on the balcony, and he said, mother, I will do it. She said, my child, what I have to do in human beings every day is much more. This is nothing. And then Duman Bhai gave a little prayer. He said, mother, you do my work, I will do your work. These outer things I will do. So if we are on that track, it's a different thing altogether. Because then she takes care of. That's what is meant by yoga shem vahameham of the Gita. That if you are moving on the path of yoga, then the divine takes care of your every little physical need and much more. Because obviously you are now in the you are on a path where things may get difficult, challenges are there, forces are there. So she takes care. But it's not like I'll do nothing and I'll just sit and divine must feed me. This subtle distinction. So he says that there has to be. So 4 or 5 lines below. There has been either a lapse of the inner spirit from a greater consciousness and knowledge, delight, love and beauty, power and capacity, harmony and good, or else there is a failure of our struggling nature and impotence to achieve what we instinctively see in to be divine and desirable. So if this aspiration is not there, there is no problem. But the problem is the aspiration will awaken one day. The moment aspiration awakens, then there is a problem. So aspiration means there is something which is perfect. Now, when aspiration has awakened, how much ever you may tell a person that, you know, you have to understand this is all imperfect, then either he takes the option of going to Mayavad. But if you are living in life, how do you do that? So you have a double life. You go to the temple, you be in the company of saints, you feel very happy. Then you have the other life. So practical. You see how these things come in. That deep inside you are wanting an escape, but outer life you have to deal with as it is by karma or whatever means. All this has come because we have assumed that there is no possibility of perfection. And perfection is not here keeping your this thing properly, no. Perfection is the full development of all our divine possibilities and their harmonious union and fusion. This is something which has not been imagined even. Yes, Vaishnavas speak of perfection, but in another domain. There is Krishna is perfect in the Krishna world. You can go there and take part in the eternal Ras. But here life cannot be perfect. So ultimately, that deepest aspiration of mankind becomes stifled. So that's what Shobindu is reminding us. If we penetrate to the cause of the fall or the failure, this where Adam and Eve, they were happy and then they fell, that long story. We shall find that all proceeds from the one primal fact that our being, consciousness, force, experience of things represent, not in their very self, but in their surface, pragmatic nature, a principle or an effective phenomenon of division or rupture in the unity of the divine existence. This is what we have just said, that there is a divine, but life is what it is. Okay, we'll read one more passage, then we'll stop. Last 8-10 lines, starting with "there arises" on same page 406. There arises too by a secondary ulterior effect, a perversion of these highest things. So one is there is a limitation. Now what happens when there is a limitation? I aspire for perfection, but I have limitation. So what? How I'll do it? There will be a perverted way. I cannot get delight. I want delight. So what I'll do? I'll go to this object of pleasure, that object of pleasure, third object of pleasure. That's how I'll continue. So perversion comes because to me there is no real way, no solution to the problem. Beauty, same thing with beauty, like that story of the queen who bought a mirror from China, and when it broke by a maid servant, she said, "I am so sorry," because she thought she is going to kill her. "I'm sorry that mirror of China has broken. Chinese mal." Even those days. "A mirror from China is broken." Now she is waiting for the sentence. So the queen was a mystic nature. She kept quiet for a while. This said, "It's good it has happened. Every day I was fooling myself, looking at my figure and appearance and saying, I am very beautiful. So thank God it is broken." So you see, this is where the perversion lies, in trying to, because the true beauty, the true delight I cannot get, I take devious routes than the natural course. This perversion is unique to human beings. Animals don't. Now they are satisfied within the limits. You make a chimpanzee drink alcohol, there is real experiments done. He will throw the glass at you. Next time you go, he'll break your skull if he can. You take a man and make him drink alcohol, he will say little bitter, "Are maza aega," take, and after some time he will run. This is the perversion. You have deviated even from our natural nature. So perversion is the next problem. By the misapplication or misdirection of an imperfect will and knowledge. What is the imperfect will and knowledge? I want joy, but I cannot get joy. Inside is very difficult. Let me snatch wherever I can get it from. And we know what are the results of that. By automatic reactions of a diminished consciousness, force, and the inept poverty of our substance, contradictions of the divine elements are formed. How is it formed? People come to Pondicherry. Actually, you know, there are people who come. It's not a joke. Who come all the way for wine. And if you tell them D or I, jod do pehle, you know, it's just add divine. Doctor sahab, philosophy ne. Real thing. Real thing is, jao. They think it is reality. Never tell them. Let them go. There are people who come like that. So, how does the perversion take place? You have found an easy way out. And then you don't realize that time. Today you are drinking wine. Tomorrow this wine will drink you. No? Bharthari knows so well. Says, kanak kanak te sauguni madakta adhikaye va khaye borai hai ye paye borai. Okay, I'll tell in English. So, kanak means the datura, which, you know, opioid substance which gives you a high. And kanak also means gold. Now you see all this is going on. So he says, which is more intoxicating? He says, gold is more intoxicating. Why? He says, if you eat this other datura, opium, then you feel lust and giddy. But gold you don't have to eat. You just get it and you lose your head. But the man who has lost his head is very happy. So this is where the perversion comes in. And we'll stop with this last line. So the problem is stating fully why all this happens. Even when rejected by the parts of us with those things tortured. Sri Ramakrishna gave an example which I have remembered so many times. You know, he says, you look at a camel, you know, going in the desert. Actually, I Google searched that, how did you know this? So camels, to extract water, they are so thirsty, you know. They will eat the bushes which are thorny. And they bleed, their mouths bleed. I mean, of course, bad owner who is taking. And yet they eat. It's bleeding, it's hurting. And yet they continue to do that. So this is where the perversion comes in. An attachment to this experience of division. माँ तो जगत जननी है पर भाई घर में तो वाइफ है मम्मी है पापा है. Divine mother can wait. Yes, she waits. That's why mother said at one point, my child, I am millions of years and I am waiting. That's how people say. So many, even now, people who have spent decades, they will go for a marriage, go for this, spend, you know, because a divine mother is there. She's always there. But it's so difficult to understand that, you know, what she, even just recently, because I had such a beautiful experience with a young boy who went to Delhi Ashram, and he just wrote to me casually that I have to go for my friend has called me for a wedding. I have to go. With great difficulty, he got some work, and he says, he'll just 20 days. I said, well, you got a chance to work for the mother. If you wish, you can go. So he could sense. So he cancelled the ticket and then wrote to me. But a lot of pressure from his dearest friend. I said, if you want to go, go for a day or two and come back. Why you have to take part in all those drama which is going on if this is your goal? If this is not your goal, it's okay. He understood it. Now, this kind of youngsters who are coming up, then you realize, my God, really things are changing. Otherwise, divine will always wait. So here she is reminding us, an attachment to this experience of division, a clinging to the divided way of being, which prevents the accession of these unhappinesses or these rejection and removal. And in the end, the last sentence, a sustained pleasure in some part of the being, even though it be a secret or a perverse pleasure, to keep it in continuation. So he has put the problem very, very accurately. Why these things continue? So both limitation and perversion are the challenges, two big challenges. There are others in this blossoming of life into a divine life. So, but let's close on a beautiful note. But there is grace, and that's why there is grace. For all who aspire for perfection, the Divine Mother's grace takes us through everything and makes the impossible possible. With human effort, it's not possible. Okay, we meet tomorrow, and there will be the paper here today, tomorrow. Please write, those who want to go to Auroville for the last day, 28th February, 5 to 6 is the time for the concluding talk on this series, and the transport will be arranged, and I think there will be some tiffin also. So, okay, Jai Ma.